Good morning, family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we adore you. We love you. We are here to worship you. We know that you are in control. Father, we acknowledge as a nation that we've turned our face from you, but we thank you for the freedoms that we do have, and we thank you for the ability to once again assemble in the future. Thank you for all the blessings you give us in this country. We're mindful of so many of our brothers and sisters that don't have the same blessings that we have here. Please continue to bless this family, and please give us the strength that we will assemble again together. Please bless Mark and Nancy as they bid us adieu. Please give us a satisfactory end to this epidemic in our country. May our worship service be one that pleases you, whether it be singular or multiple. Please bless each and every person listening to this video, that they would acknowledge that you are the strength and that you are in control, and that they are here to worship you and to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Mark from the Lassen Street Church of Christ. As Tawny Cunningham shared with us last Sunday, Mike Sherman has agreed to be our minister here in my absence for Sunday duties. And I'm thankful that Mike has agreed to serve in this capacity. He's known and loved by the congregation. He has good background and training, and we look forward to his serving in that role. Do pray for him as he enters this role, and then our congregation as a whole as we go through this period of transition. Do keep in mind, however, Mike has another job during the week, so he will not have full-time availability. Keep that in mind as he is able to do Sunday responsibilities, but not during the week responsibilities. Let's pray together as we begin. Father, you are great and glorious. You're beyond our imagination, Father, to understand your greatness and glory. But we yearn to see you one day and to experience you face to face. Lord, we're thankful for your work and your blessings that you give us in our lives. We're thankful for the gift of your Spirit, your Word, the body of Christ. And Lord, during this time of pandemic, we just pray that you would be with us, with the congregation, Lord, and also with our communities. We pray, Father, that for your protection, we pray for your wisdom, we pray for your Spirit to be upon us so we might live the life of Christ, even in our world today. Lord, as Mike Sherman prepares to take over some responsibilities here, I ask your blessings on him and on the congregation. Be with our elders as they lead and guide. Bless us all, Father, to do your will for your name's glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'd like to share the last lesson in a series that I've titled My Sin, My Savior, and My Salvation. This morning's lesson is simply titled, Be Faithful. I'll be reading in a few moments from Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 through verse 10. These are Jesus' words to the church in Smyrna. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you're rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid about what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. With those words, I'd like to share with you a lesson this morning on being faithful to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I grew up watching a TV show called Gomer Pyle, USMC. Gomer was a backwoods Marine recruit who was in boot camp. And Sergeant Carter's job, his drill instructor's job, was to straighten out all the problems that Gomer had and turn him into a fighting Marine machine. Well, of course, you can imagine with the comedy involved, Gomer did not meet those qualifications. His naivety was clear. His good-heartedness was clear. But yet he just couldn't be that Marine that they wanted him to be. Now, how many of you have been U.S. Marines? I think of some of you in our congregation. I think of Ken or Leo, Bruce, probably others. Now, you can't answer this question, but if you've not been a Marine or the spouse of a Marine, maybe you should test yourself with this question. What is the motto of the United States Marine Corps? Do you recall? Do you recall what the motto is? It simply means always faithful. Semper Fi. Always faithful. Actually, the long word is Semper Fidelis, but which usually just shortened to Semper Fi. Now, Marines are called to be always faithful. Always faithful to their promise to protect the United States. Always faithful to their comrades in arms. The term always faithful has great meaning to a Marine. By the way, this is free and no extra charge. You may have heard that Marines never give up that term, Marines. They're a Marine even though they may have been retired for 40 years. They're still a Marine. I think the same also goes true for preachers who retire. We're still preachers even after we're retired. The Marines are called to be always faithful. Just as Christians, we're called to be always faithful in the service of our Lord. In our text that we just shared from Revelation chapter 2, Jesus in verse 10 has both a command and a promise. Let's talk about the command of Jesus first. It's very simple. Be faithful even to the point of death. Be faithful unto death, some translations will say. But let's note the context of this command. He has told the church not to be afraid about what they're about to suffer. Some will be imprisoned. The church will suffer persecution for 10 days, probably not a literal 10 days, but a period of time. Jesus simply tells the church that things are going to get worse before they get better, and do not be surprised at the persecution that is coming their way. Then Jesus issued the church a command, this imperative, be faithful even to the point of death. Jesus calls on his people to be always faithful, semper fi, if you will, to be faithful to their calling, to be faithful to the calling of God in their lives. You know, being a Christian does not protect us from all problems. In fact, being a Christian may bring some problems into your life, just as the early church suffered persecution for their faith. There is a cost for being true to Christ. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Persecution comes as part and parcel of living faithful to Jesus Christ. So Jesus' call for us is to be always faithful in his service. Christianity is not a religion of convenience. It is a religion of conviction. Our faith is not necessarily make an easy path for us in life, but it is a path of conviction that it's the right thing to do and that we will be blessed by it, not only in eternity, but also in this life, even when it's not easy. So Jesus calls us to be always faithful in his service, even when it's costly. What does it mean to be faithful to Christ? The word faithful literally means to be full of faith. It is to be faithful, if you will. Faith is trusting and acting on what you do not see, but know to be true. As the Hebrew writer said, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of that which we do not see, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Being faithful is being full of faith in the Lord, his goodness, and trusting him to lead in our lives. Now, obedience is the result of faithfulness, or being full of faith. In obedience, we bend our human will to the Lord's will for us. In obedience, we desire nothing more than to please him who has called us to himself. Yet being faithful to Christ does not mean we're morally perfect. We've shared many times that Christians still sin. We still sin and fall short of God's glory. Being faithful is not being morally perfect. You can be faithful and still be imperfect. Aren't you glad? I'm a faithful servant, but I'm not a perfect servant. I'm a faithful citizen, but I'm not a perfect citizen. I'm a faithful husband. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm a faithful father. I'm not a perfect father. You get the picture. We want to do better. We want to do what's right, but we sin and fall short of that glory of God. We sin and fall short of absolute moral perfection. So being faithful does not mean that we're going to be perfect. It does mean that we're committed to the one we trust in, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Being faithful to the Lord is also more than just church attendance, although it certainly involves church attendance. Right now, during the pandemic, we cannot safely meet as a congregation. We recognize that, and we miss our assemblies together. And we see how important they are in our lives by missing them for a period of time. But being faithful to the Lord is more than just being faithful in church attendance, although it's necessary to be faithful in church attendance to be faithful for the Lord. Maybe we've sometimes wrongly judged people. We've been asked, well, are they a faithful Christian? And we'll say, oh, yes, they're at church every time the doors are open. Well, it's good to be at church every time the doors are open, but that alone does not guarantee faithfulness. It's a tool toward faithfulness. Here's the difference. Church attendance is necessary, but not alone sufficient in being faithful to the Lord. You and I have known people who attended church regularly, but whose lives were in shambles and were anything but Christian in their moral teaching and their moral example. It takes more than hearing the Word and being in presence of the Word to live for Christ, although it does take being present with the Word and in church worship. So it's necessary, but not alone sufficient, to be in church. What happens is, being faithful in our attendance equips us to be faithful to the Lord in life. There are some who are faithful in attending school. They've got perfect attendance records, but their grades are dismal. Just showing up and being at school does not guarantee that you get an education. In a similar way, just coming to church does not guarantee spiritual maturity, but you're not going to achieve it without that opportunity to come and gather with the saints. There's an old saying that goes, sitting in a hen house doesn't make you a chicken, sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car, and sitting in a church building doesn't make you a Christian. But when you do sit in a church building, you have a lot better chance of turning your will over to Jesus on a continual basis and living for Him. So church attendance is necessary, but not alone sufficient for faithfulness. Faithfulness requires more than just church attendance. The faithful Christian evidences the fruit or the result of the Spirit in his life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Paul reminds the Galatians in chapter 5. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, we have the words of Jesus as he identified the greatest command was to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love the Lord with all of our heart involves loving Him with our attitudes, to develop the mind of Christ. To develop the mind of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the thought patterns of Christ, the values of Christ. We are to love the Lord with all of our soul. Our ethical choices of right over wrong must be godly. To love the Lord with all of our mind. Our doctrine needs to be godly from the Word of God. And to love the Lord with all of our strength. Our service to others is a part and parcel with loving the Lord with all we've got. The Bible's emphasis on our faithfulness to God grows out of the Lord's faithfulness to us. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, the rider on the white horse, that is Jesus, is called faithful and true because Jesus is our standard and our example of faithfulness. So Jesus' command to the church in Smyrna is simple. Be faithful even to the point of death. Be faithful, church. Be full of faith, resulting in obedience. Not moral perfection, but a submission of your heart toward God and continuing to learn and grow as a disciple of Jesus. That involves church attendance, but it's more than church attendance. It's also evidencing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The command of Jesus is straightforward. Be faithful even to death. But secondly this morning, our text in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 reminds us there's a reward to faithfulness. A reward of faithfulness comes from Jesus with these words. I will give you the crown of life. Now, we've talked about the Marines being always faithful. The Marines have their awards too, don't they? They put on their dress uniforms and you'll see some things pinned on them. Those are honors and awards that have been given to them. They're decorated for their service. The Christian also receives rewards for faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The reward the Christian receives is found in verse 10. It's called the crown of life. What is the crown of life? Let's talk about that for a few moments. The Christian's reward is the crown. It's the stephanos in Greek. The crown that is the wreath that the winner in the race receives. In a sense, it's the trophy. It's something small that represents something major. The stephanos is that wreath, the victor's wreath, that was given to those who won in the games. In a similar way, the crown of life is that victory wreath the Lord gives us when we have won in the game of life by being faithful to Him. There's another Greek word for crown, a Greek word, diadema, which means royal authority of crown, like we talk about the British crown, or we think of the crown in the sense of political power. That's not the reward that Jesus gives us. Jesus gives us the stephanos. He gives us the wreath of victory, that which symbolizes success in the games, the crown of life. Well, what is this crown of life that Jesus is talking about? The Christian's reward for winning is not a wreath of leaves, aren't you glad? It's more than that. It's life. And the word Jesus uses here in the Greek is zoe. It is that full life, that abundant life. Not just mere existence forever, but a qualitative existence, an existence in the presence of God. That's the crown of life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, or zoe, and have it abundantly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. So the Christian's reward for a winning is not a wreath of leaves. It is that eternal qualitative life with the Lord Himself. That's the reward for being faithful to the Jesus Christ. Now I admit there's a lot I don't understand about heaven. There are many things I don't understand. The Bible uses metaphors such as pearly gates and golden streets. I suspect those are there to show us the beauty and the glory of that experience of being in the presence of God. Years ago, sometimes when I hankered for a candy bar, I'd select an Almond Joy candy bar. Any of you remember the advertisements for Almond Joy? They're indescribably delicious. I think the descriptions of heaven we have in Scripture are telling us it's indescribably beautiful, indescribably delicious, if you will. It's an experience that no human being can fully understand, and the metaphors given are simply ways of saying it's a place of great glory and peace and joy in the presence of God. That's the way I view heaven, beyond human comprehension. Only to be comprehended when experienced. So I can't fully understand the crown of life. I know there will be a stephanos, that victor's crown of life, zoe in Greek, but I'm not sweating the details. Here's what I do know. I will be with the Lord, and that will be enough. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. The crown of life ultimately is the presence of God. Maybe you've heard the story about the man who went to visit his friend who was dying to try to encourage him in his faith and encourage him in his transition during a difficult time as life was ebbing away. He got to his friend's house and he brought his dog along for the walk, but of course the dog had to stay outside, and the dog's master, the friend, went in to speak to his friend who was dying. They had many conversations about God, about future. And the dying man asked, "Tell me, what is heaven like?" At that moment, They could both hear on the outside door the dog was beginning to paw, wanting to come in to be with the master. And the gentleman thought for a moment and said, "I can't tell you everything what heaven is like, but I can tell you this. You will be with God. Just like that dog of mine is pawing on the outside of the door. He's never been in your house. He doesn't know what kind of dog food you would give him if you could give him dog food. But what he does know is that my presence is here and he wants to be with me." Being in heaven is in the presence of God. Being able to experience his glory forever. We don't have to know all the details of what heaven's like. We just need to trust the Master because we want to be with the Master. And we know our Master will provide exactly what we need. Don't sweat the details on heaven. Trust the Master. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we have seen that Jesus issued the church in Smyrna a command, but also a promise. The command is to be faithful to death, even to the point of death. The promise, and I will give you the crown of life, that Stephanos of life. Be faithful no matter what. And that's the charge that I leave you with. As I'm retiring from ministry and moving, I want you to recognize the importance of continuing to be faithful to Jesus Christ and all that entails. Be faithful. Just like the Marines say, always faithful, semper fi. Be faithful. Remain faithful to your calling. Remain faithful to your commitment. You will never outlive the joy that comes from faithfulness. Being faithful has a great reward, that crown of life, that Zoe we talked about, the qualitative life. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners win, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." There are a lot of kids' sports today that give participation trophies. Everyone who participates is a winner. And I see some of that reality. But there's more to it than that. Because not everyone puts forth the same effort and not everyone receives the same result. The point that Paul is making is run in such a way as to receive the prize. Be intentional about your choices. Be intentional about your lifestyle. Run in such a way as to receive that crown of life, to receive the prize before us. The good news is you and I are not in competition with each other. We can all be winners in Jesus by finishing the race. I've had some family members that have run in marathon races. Not me. I'm not ready for that length. Nothing at all. But I've had some family members who have. And in a marathon, maybe it's nice to be the first to cross the finish line, but more importantly, it's great to just finish the race. And what the Lord calls us to is to finish the race, not necessarily be the first one across the finish line. He calls us to be finishers. To finish the race, to be faithful to him. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 these words, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." So semper fi, always faithful. That is our calling as Christians, is to remain faithful to the one who has called us by his gospel. Matthew chapter 25 pictures a day of judgment. The Lord will separate his people like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And notice verse 46. They, that is those that are condemned, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There's no question which side I want to be on. There's no question which side you want to be on. We have to be intentional in living this life so we receive the Lord's reward that comes, the promise that comes of that eternal life, that Zoe, that crown of life when we have been faithful to our calling. If you're not a Christian, it's time to get into the Christian race. If you are a Christian, keep running the Christian life. Keep living the Christian race with faithfulness. Stay in the race. And don't get sidetracked. Be faithful even to the point of death, and you will receive that crown of life. Paul reminded the Galatians with these words, "You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." And if you've not made that initial step of being baptized into Christ, call one of the elders, ask them to help you in your spiritual journey, and make that commitment to Jesus. Be faithful unto death. That is our calling. When we think of the faithfulness that we have been called to, we remember the faithfulness of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It wasn't too many weeks ago that I shared with you one of the aspects of the atoning blood of Jesus is that Jesus was an example to us on the cross. I know he was more than an example, but he was an example for us. And we find in Philippians chapter 2 these words. As we prepare to take of the Lord's Supper, let's focus our hearts. Paul writes, "Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, that is, held on to tenaciously, but he emptied himself. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has exalted him to the highest place and give him the name above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Back in verse 8, Paul wrote that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Jesus was faithful even unto death. He was faithful until the end in his commitment to his Father. As we think of the faithfulness of Jesus in going to that cross for us, let that example be an encouragement to us to continue to remain faithful to the Lord. Let's pray for the bread. Lord, we're amazed at the beauty of your Son. We acknowledge his perfect faithfulness. And Lord, we know that we have not been perfect morally, but he was sinless. And Lord, help us to be faithful to our calling as your disciples. Father, for this bread we give you thanks, which reminds us of the body of Jesus, that he was human as we are. He experienced the pains and the processes of life that we experience. Father, help us to take that, remembering the humanity of Christ and the tremendous example he is to us in being faithful to your calling in his life. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. God, we're thankful for the gift of blood. The gift of blood that courses through our veins and gives us life. And the gift of Jesus' blood that gives us spiritual life through him. Lord, as we reflect on him being faithful to you, that he was obedient even to the point of death, even to the point of shedding his blood, help us, Father, to also be faithful to you, even to the point of death. Thank you, Father, for this emblem that reminds us of the sacrifice given for us. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. May God bless us and guide us as we seek to remain faithful to Him, even in the midst of this pandemic, when we can't get out and do what we'd like to do. May God bless us in our hearts to remain faithful to the one who has called us. Thank you for listening today.
Good morning. I know that these announcements need to be very generic. We just don't have lots of information that we would have if we were in person. But in general, I need you to know what's happening with Mark. He will continue to give us video lessons through the 3rd and the 10th of May. His plan is to move the week of the 10th, and we are very appreciative of all that he has done for us, and we wish he and Nancy a happy retirement. He also has many, many books that he's given away. Not all of them, but many books that he has given away. They are in the hallway, and if you so desire to come and look at them, there's still a lot of good books left. Mike Sherman is on board to start Memorial Day weekend. We don't know exactly what format that will look like, but we certainly look forward to him being our Sunday morning and Sunday night preacher for a while. Also, if you have not gotten the bulletin online, please continue to seek out Johnny or Mike to do that. It gives you information on how to give contributions. It also gives you information on how to pick up communion and perform communion. And lastly, if you have any issues with how to get a hold of a video that you can watch online on Sundays, please let us know. Thank you very much and have a blessed day.